tonight. He's somebody who's been coming to this ministry for about a little over a year, year and a half. But it seems like he's been here forever. He's one of those people that just plugged in and instantly just started pursuing relationship with people, his relationship with God, and has been growing like crazy. And I'm really excited about the word that he's bringing tonight. I know it's been brewing in his heart for a while now, and I've been just waiting for the right opportunity for him to come and to preach and you to get to receive from him. So Alex Worth is preaching tonight. So I really encourage you, pay attention, listen, take down notes. And if you don't know Alex, man, get to know him. He's amazing. If you're a young guy, especially, get to know him. He wants to pour into your life. I know that's his heart, and that's what he wants to do is empower people in their walk with Jesus. So if you guys will welcome with me Alex Worth, come on up, man.
All right. Welcome, everyone. So ever since Reed mentioned that I might be preaching, I instantly started thinking of a story to tell at the start, because like all the good people who preach tell like a funny story at the start and then like wrap it into their sermon. And I was thinking, I've waited a year and a half to be given the mic and to be able to use all my bad puns and corny jokes. So I spent this whole time trying to think of how I can tell this elongated story with this dumb punchline. Some cringe-worthy pun to throw in, and I came up with nothing. So we'll just pretend like I did say something really funny, and we'll move on. So Reed's been in this series. Does anyone remember what it's called? Close enough. Taking Down Your Giants. So the first week, he's sort of introducing it all. And the second week, last week, anyone remember what we talked about last week? Ooh, talked about comfort, about slaying the giant of comfort. So tonight, we're going to talk about fear. I feel like fear is something that we all can relate to in one aspect or the other. So I'm really excited just what God's going to just share with us tonight. So I thought a pretty easy first step in talking about fear is defining fear. So the dictionary definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. With that being said, if you have your Bibles tonight, open up to 1 Samuel 17. This whole message is sort of based around David and Goliath. So you can sort of keep there. We'll jump around a little bit, but we'll sort of always make our way back to there. So as sort of we talked about last week, the Israelites, the army, were paralyzed with fear. They saw Goliath. They saw their giant. And they did absolutely nothing. They were ignoring their fear, and they were ignoring their giant. And their strategy was a pretty great one. They were hoping that Goliath would die of old age. Pretty reliable strategy. But they were basically just sitting in their camps, saying, I'm too scared to fight him. So they're all just waiting in their camps, just waiting for him to go away. And that's sort of our first step that we're going to talk about here tonight, is deciding that you're not going to ignore your fear. Because that's what they did. They recognized what their fear was. They saw their fear. They saw Goliath across the field, and then they decided to ignore him. They decided that he was hoping he would go away. And in our lives, I feel like we do this a lot. But, you know, for the most part, I'd say our fear is not a 9-foot undefeated champion. Although it might be. If so, I'm praying for you. But sometimes for us, our fear is the fear of failing. The fear of not being good enough. The fear of others. The fear of being left out. The fear of being alone. And we often think of these fears as, I'll wait to deal with that after I get out of high school. I'll wait to deal with that once I move out of my parents' house. And in one way or another, we often put off our fear. And we say, I'll get to it later. Maybe I'll just wait till I'm not afraid of it anymore. And we often take the approach of the Israelites, just waiting. And so the first verse I'm going to share tonight is from Proverbs 29:25. And it says, the fear of man reproved to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I mean, we're going to talk more about that second part. But for this first part, we're going to talk about the fear of man will prove to be a snare. One of the reasons why I'm so excited to talk tonight is because fear is something that in my personal life I can relate to a lot. And it's something that I've struggled with a lot. Some of you know my story, others don't, so I'll go over it real quick. I started high school. I decided to go the homeschooling route, and I'd like to say that I did that because I wanted to be really smart and I wanted to get ahead. Not the case. The truth of the matter is I just didn't want to be around people, to be honest. I didn't really have that many friends growing up, and I just didn't want to deal with all of the high school. So I decided to go homeschooling route, and I figured a good compromise would be to take one class at a high school so I can still do sports, because I am very competitive. So I thought that was a pretty good balance. I thought I'd get the best of both worlds. I'd be able to do my own thing at home. I'd be able to compete and do sports, and that didn't work out in the slightest. But in my first few years of high school, fear was something that paralyzed me. And I just had a fear of others, just in general. I had a fear of fitting in. I had a fear of being left out. And I had a fear of being alone. I don't know if that's you tonight, but for me, that was most definitely me. And I lived my life, and I lived my high school career in this fear. And a lot of it was sort of well-founded. I wasn't really well-liked at my school at all, and so I would often get picked on. And it's really not something that you can describe. Unless you've been there. But I live my life constantly getting picked on by other students, by other adults, just always getting put down. And this just did nothing but help foster this fear in me. So from day to day, I was scared to go to school. Not scared like I'm going to die today, but scared as I don't want to be there. I just get put down every day. And so I went day to day just in this fear, just doing nothing in my fear. And ever since growing up, I grew up in the church. I started memorizing scripture from like a super young age. As a 7-year-old, I could probably quote more scripture than like most adults. So I had like all this Bible memorized, but I hadn't made the choice, like that personal relationship with God. I don't know if you guys like have made that decision yourself yet, but there's a point where you like accept Christ and you like, you really accept him and you really realize what he's all about. And you decide to start chasing after him. And I wasn't there yet. And so I was going through all this and I was just ignoring it. I wasn't turning to God, really. I mean, I went to church, I prayed, and, you know, that's all great. But I wasn't relying on him at all. I wasn't deciding to do anything with my faith. So because of that, I just kept coasting, and things just kept getting worse for me. God just kept me sort of where I'm at. And so years passed and whatnot. I just kept struggling with this fear of others, and Yeah, y'all can laugh, but I would go to lunch, and I'd walk in the lunchroom, and I would look and, like, see everyone sitting down, and it's like that panic hits, you know, over, like, crap, where do I sit? I don't know, some of you can relate. And then, like, I kid you not, most days, I would turn around and go to the bathroom and just, like, sit in the bathroom stall eating my lunch. Like, that was me. You guys can, like, laugh and whatnot, but, like, I was terrified, and I didn't want to be around the people who put me down on a daily basis. And I was fearful of what they would say. I was fearful of what they would say to me that day, fearful of what they would do. And so my solution, like the Israelites, was to ignore it. I was hoping it would go away. I was either hoping that just one day I'd walk in and I'd be super popular, or that they would just start being really nice. Sort of like the Israelites, not a really reliable plan. And so that's where we get to our second point of tonight, is deciding to fight your fear. But, there's a but on the end of this, but realizing that the battle is already won and that you can't do it on your own. And if we tie this back into David and Goliath, we see that in like verse 39 and 40, David, he comes up, everyone knows the story, he comes up to bring his brothers food, to bring them supplies and whatnot, and he walks in and he's like, this is war? Everyone's sitting in their tents. Like, what's going on? So he's starting to ask around, you know, like, well, guys, what's going on? And they tell him, like, oh, there's a pretty good-sized fighter on the other team that we're sort of scared of. And he's walking around, and he makes that decision, like, oh, I'll fight him. He's mocking God, and he's calling God, he's calling on us. I'm going to go fight him. But David didn't then go running to Saul and say, Saul, I need your best armor. I need your longest sword. And a shield would be great. And the point is, he didn't go try to protect himself. He didn't go try to get the best armor that there was around. Saul tried to give it to him. Saul was like, here, take mine. It's pretty good. I'm the king. I got pretty good stuff. And David was like, no, I don't want this. I can't have this. And now David didn't go like, oh, you know what? Weapon of choice to take down a 9-foot undefeated champion? Slingshot. Works every time. Like, he didn't go into thinking like, yeah, I'm going to take him down with a slingshot. That's going to be a cool story. David, the reason why David was able to do that, David knew that he wasn't the one fighting Goliath. David knew that the battle was already won, that Jesus had already conquered everything, that Jesus was just waiting for someone to trust and for someone to step out in that faith. And see, this is where, in my own life, I would like to say that I picked up my slingshot, and as Reed said last week, my fanny pack for the pebbles. But that's not what I did. I decided, another great decision, to go for my armor. And so in my life, I thought I would fight this fear through sports. And so I'm a runner. I like to run. And so I poured my heart and soul and everything I had into running. And I would go, and that was just sort of my way of hoping that I'd be able to cope with things. I would go on a run to make myself feel better. I'd go on a run to just think. And I was just hoping that if I ran enough, I'd become good enough in running, and that people would finally accept me. That I would finally get that just acceptance and that just being in part of the crowd. And I just hoped I would get that through running. So I poured everything I had into running. I was also doing basketball at the time. I was doing basketball at 2.5 hour practice every day and like 10 miles of running, like every day. And it wasn't like a slow jog. I was running angry. If you ever seen someone run angry, that was me. I was just going as hard as I can for as far as I can. And just every day, that was my solution. I was trying to fight my own fear, my own way, on my own strength. Spoiler alert, that didn't work out very well. as many of you know, my hips started hurting at that time. And I decided, like, okay, no big deal. I can push through this. So I kept running. I kept finding it my way. Long story short, my hips took me out. I ended up breaking both hips and then continuing to run on both those hips. And it kept getting worse and worse. And I came to a point where I was physically broken. I literally could not get out of bed in the morning. I couldn't put on my socks. I couldn't walk down the stairs. I was literally crawling around our house because I could no longer walk. And you would think any logical person would then come to the realization that this might not be the best idea. I am not that smart. And so I kept trying. You know what, God, you're cool and all, but I got this. I can do this. I'm a tough guy. I can figure things out. I'm going to do this on my own. And so that's what I did. I kept running what little I could. After tracking it, I still try to do my own thing. And God was just kept calling me back to him. And he started just sending these signs. The one friend I had at the time that I'd come to rely on, that friendship ended in a pretty bad way. We've since reconciled whatnot. But I lost that one security blanket that I thought I had. The church that my family was going to at the time, that we loved going to, that was a second home for me, went through a bad split. We ended up not going there. And all the things that I had come to rely on were stripped away from me. My comfort zone of running, the thing I had built my life around, the thing I had trusted all my strength into, that was taken away from me. The people in my church that I was used to just encouraged me, they were taken away. And just every excuse that I'd been making not to go to God was taken away from me. And so I was in this period of months where I couldn't move. Like, literally, I was just laying in my bed. And I don't know if many of you have had bad injuries, but literally with every breath was a sharp reminder of my pain. Both physical, but this pain had become so ingrained in me that it was just bad. there'd be nights where I couldn't sleep, because every time I closed my eyes, all this pain kept coming back to me. From my hips, I could feel it. But in the things that had been said to me, the things that had been done to me, it had paralyzed me. I couldn't do anything about it. And around this time, I got invited to GM. And I would love to say that I loved it and that I came here just awesome and I just got changed. I hated GM. I'm just going to be honest. And it's not because of the people they said to me. They were great. I hated GM because the people loved me. I hated GM because people were caring about me. I had become so used to my fear that I couldn't risk being hurt more. And so I was shunning people out. I didn't want to be liked. I didn't want to be cared. I just leave me in my own self-pity and just let me be. And God just kept working on my heart. And looking back, I can just see that he was just calling me back to him. And I reached a point. It was here in this room. It was a worship night. And Reed and Juna Tanner prayed for me. And my life has been changed ever since that day. I realized that I couldn't fight my fight anymore. And I couldn't do it on my own strength. And at that moment, I put down my armor. And the fight that I had taken with my own, and I had tried to do my own strength, I put that down. And I just remember Reed praying for me. He was just praying that I would just see that God is there. And just at that moment, it just finally hit me that God was just waiting for me to go to him this whole time. And that all these months that I had been, laying around feeling sorry for myself and saying, God, why have you left me? What Delvey was just saying a couple minutes ago in the nugget, that was me. I was laying around saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you just left me in this pain? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you bringing me out of the situation? And this whole time, God was just saying, come to me. And I was so blinded by my fear and so paralyzed by my fear that I didn't see that. And I finally came to a point where I said, okay, the battle is already won. And so the next thing that we're going to talk about, the final step, is called stepping out in faith. Because David, he's decided he's going to fight his giant. He went to Saul. He said no to his armor. He didn't want that. He trusted God to his own way. But then he didn't sit in his tent and just say, all right, God, you do you. You bring him to me. I feel like so often we do that with our struggles, with the things that we're thinking about. We say, all right, God, I trust you. And we just stay there. We wait for God to come to us. We just wait for him to do something. And we just keep coasting along, nothing really changing. David knew that he was going to fight Goliath on his own. He trusted God. He got a slingshot. But then he got out and walked down to Goliath. I don't know, I was thinking about this week. Did you ever think about how hard that walk must have been? That 50 feet of, what is he like, yay high? And Goliath is like, yay high. And Goliath and all his shield bearers and all those dudes, they're all mocking him. You can read in the verses that they're calling him the dog, that you come at me with sticks and stones, and they're making fun of him. His own brothers, the own Israelites, are probably laughing at him like, you're our only hope. you were the best we could muster against the Goliath. And David still went out. He still stepped out in faith. He still, as everyone jeered at him, as everyone mocked him, he still went out. And I think the thing that I got out of this was the most logical thing for David to do would be to get a sword, would be to get a shield, we would get armor, and then go charge Goliath. And yet the most logical thing for him to do wasn't what God had for him at all. I mean, who would think that no one's going to see a 9-foot giant and think, I'm going to get my slingshot. That's the way to do it. He had complete trust in God. And I think we think the opposite of fear is courage. And personally, I just don't think that's right. I was reading this week, and these people, they interviewed every person who had received the Medal of Honor. If you guys don't know, that's the highest award that the United States military gives to people. And it's for people who show extreme acts of bravery. And each one of them said, in one way or the other, that courage I make sure I got to read this right. That courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the exact thing that you are afraid of. And I feel like so often we wait around for our fear to pass. We wait for our fear to be over. We wait for our fear just to go away. We want Goliath to die before we deal with him. And we just wait, God, give me courage. But yet, we're not supposed to wait till we're not afraid of something, to go face it, to go fight it. God's calling us to trust him and to step out even though we're afraid of it. I can almost guarantee you David was afraid. I mean, I would be, and I don't think there's any way he wasn't afraid. But he had more courage. He knew, he trusted God that God would give him strength. And the courage that David had came from his fear of the Lord. And when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it talks about how we need to fear the Lord. But the word fear that they use is not the same fear that we talked about at the beginning here. It's not the same fear that something is dangerous. The Bible doesn't call us to live our lives scared of God. And that if we mess up, God's going to strike us down with lightning and burning thunder. Like, that's not the fear that's talking about. I can go through, the Hebrew, whatnot. But for me, the thing that made it click in my mind was a verse in Proverbs 22:4. It says, Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord is a humbleness. It's a reverence and an awe of going to God and saying, you are God and I am not. That without you, I am nothing. I can't do this on my own, and you are the only one who can. That's what the Bible is saying about the fear of the Lord. And a whole message could be preached about the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And it says it's the beginning of all these good things. But we have to have that fear of the Lord. Because when we focus on our fear of the Lord and we look at who is on our side, our giants, they stop being giants. When we focus on our giant and who's fighting on our side, the enemy dissipates. We don't see a giant anymore because we see the God who is on our side. And we look at the enemy and that's it. David. We see that the giant is not a giant. But David still had to walk out. He still had to face that fear. Even though that he was afraid. But he had the courage to still step out. For in 2 Timothy 1:7, it said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I know that for me, that instance, when I looked at God and said, God, you are my giant and not my giant of fear, that everything changed for me. My fear of being vulnerable, my fear of being hurt, I built the best relationships of my life. I've built relationships with people who I consider my best friends now. I've got poured into by Reed and my people in this church, by just people elsewhere. I've got poured into, and I feel like God has moved in my life just in the past year. And all of this happened when I was finally able to step out of my fear. When I had been so comfortable in my fear and so terrified to leave it, so terrified that something would happen to me again, something that would hurt me again. And it was the moment where I finally realized that I stopped worrying about that. That I stopped worrying about my fear and my health. And I said, God, it's in your hands. And it wasn't until then that I was finally able to start healing. That I was starting finally just able to trust in him. And I feel like a lot of people in this room are struggling with that fear. That fear, it's hard. The fear of others, but there's so much pressure around us. The fear of not fitting in, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of not doing well in your sport, the fear of not being liked by your friends, the fear of being alone. We take all these fears and we try to fight them on our own. We try to like be more, we just try to talk more, we try to cover it up because we think it's wrong to admit it. It's wrong to realize it. And so many, we treat our fears like the Israelites treated Goliath. We just ignore it. We hope that it goes away because we don't want to deal with it. And if we do decide to deal with it, we try to fix it. And we try to say, all right, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because this makes the most sense. And this is how I'm going to get over my fear. And God's just saying, come to me. He's saying, I have already fought that fear. I have already beaten that fear. I've already destroyed it. You don't have to fight that fear. You don't have to fight it with your sword and with your armor. I have already won the battle. And I can't phrase it in a way. If that's you tonight, don't leave this room tonight without facing that fear. Don't leave this room uncertain of what you're going to do. The fear of the Lord gives us courage. And then in that, we have faith. The faith that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. The promises that he gives us, that he says he gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. When he says in Isaiah, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Trusting God is hard because we can't see him. It's easier to talk to your friend next to you and have a conversation with your friend next to you because you can see them. You can see their response. You can feel their arm around your shoulder, and you can hear them saying, everything's all right. That's not the same kind of conversation we have with God. Again, so often we pray, we might decide, all right, we're going to fight. God, you got it. And then we don't wait to listen. We just stay. Just, all right, God, you do you. You take it. It's in your hands. We still have to walk down to our giant. We still have to walk down and face that fear. We still have to walk down when everyone's laughing at us, when everyone's making fun of us, when everyone's saying, you can't do that. You can't be that fear. You can't be yourself. And God's saying, I will give you strength. I want that fear. I want that insecurity that you have. I want every part of you. And just that moment when we can give that to God, I remember I was laying right over here, and I don't know how many people have seen like someone who cries like really ugly. That was me. I had like a pile of tears and snot on the floor, and I just remember in my heart, as soon as I said, "All right, God, you take this fight," it instantly changed. And I remember when I stood up, I felt like I was floating 10 feet above the air. There was a physical weight lifted off my shoulders. And the fear that I'd gotten used to for so long wasn't there anymore. And it's not that I've never been challenged in that again. Every day when I go out, I still have those same fears, but they aren't giants because I know who's on my side. I know who my giant is. And people are going to challenge that. They're going to say, who's on your side? Because they're going to say, there's a lot of people on the other side. There's a pretty big giant. You probably should be really afraid of this. You probably should be afraid to share your faith. You should be afraid to be open with your friends. You should be afraid to be vulnerable. You should be afraid to go all out. And God's just saying there, I got you. I am your strength. And I feel like just God's calling us to go into that tonight. Just, I want to say it one more time. When we focus on God, our giants stop being giants. They cease to be something that we should be afraid about. God's raw power has already beaten them. He's just calling us. In this song that we were singing, let his arms wrap around you. He's calling us to that. And is John here still? No? Okay. I just want you to bow your heads with me tonight. As just we close, and if you don't know what that fear of the Lord is, if you've never heard of this Jesus that takes away all fear, if you don't know what that's like to have someone on your side, and you want to push through that fear, and you want to give that fear up, and you want to set down your armor tonight, that you've been fighting it on your own for so long, and that you don't know what the option is, and you're broken, just physically and spiritually, and you don't know where to go next, and you just want to give your life to Christ. You want to find out who that giant is in your life for the very first time tonight. Would you just raise your hand? If that's just you tonight, and you just want to give that to God, if you just don't know who Jesus is, and you just want to accept him in your life tonight, just slip up your hand. I just want everyone just to repeat after me just a simple prayer. And then we're going to move into time and just response. Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I surrender. I know that I have sinned. But God, you have come to take that sin. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me when I mess up. God, thank you for defeating my fear. God, be with me as I face my fear. And give me strength to remember that you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want everyone to stand here tonight. And I just want, that means you can go ahead and stand. And I just want, tonight, if you've been fighting a battle, if you've been fighting something, and you've been doing it with your armor and with your own strength and with your sword, and that you've been trying to fix it on your own, and that you've been battling, and you don't know where to turn to next. You don't know where to go, and you're running out of options. You're sitting there, you're ignoring it, and you're hurting. If that's you tonight, I invite you to come down to the altar and to give that to the Lord. He wants that. He's sitting there. He's saying, I've already beaten your giant. I've beaten your giant of insecurity. I've beaten your giant of not feeling with your friends. I've beaten your fear of not being good enough for the people around you. I've taken over that fear. So if that's you tonight, I just pray that you just come and give that up. You don't have to hang on to it. And if you want to meet with a leader, we're all up here to pray with you. But I just beg you, don't hang on to that fear. Don't let yourself be comfortable in that fear. It's for you to move. God wants to just shower you with his love. Perfect love dries out all fear, the Bible says. Jesus wants your fear. He wants those insecurities. He wants those doubts. So if that's you here tonight, I just invite you down to the altar here.